Thank you. What a wonderful schus to be here tonight. It's a highlight of my Ben Hasmanim to be able to share words of Torah with the Amudei HaYeshiva, pillars, the true pillars of our yeshiva. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, Dav Yudam Ud Beis, Kol makom shenemar vayehi eino ela lashon tsar, that any time the Torah uses the word vayehi, it tells us that tsar, that suffering, that pain, that hardship is about to develop. As we know, vayehi bimei Achashverosh, that it was in the times of Achashverosh, and of course we know that ultimately Haman HaRasha wanted to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Then ask the Mefarshim, and really the Medrash, why is it that the opening of this week's Parsha begins with the word Vayihi, Vayihi, Bishalach, Paro es Ha'am? This was a happy time. Klal Yisrael was enslaved for 210 years of back-breaking labor. What's the tsar? What's the suffering? Where is Klal Yisrael suffering? They suffered for all those years when they were enslaved to Paro in Mitzrayim. Where is the tsar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt? Says the Medrash that the tsar was not referring to Bnei Yisrael. There was no tsar for Bnei Yisrael. There was no suffering for Klal Yisrael. Rather, the tsar was referring to the tsar, the pain, the suffering of Paro. As the Medrash says, Kishasholach Paro es Ha'am, when Paro sent out the nation, Mitzoveach Voy, who is crying? Paro. Mashal Amelech, compared to a king, Shehoya bin Aholech, Lemedina Achas, the son of the king went to a different town, Holach Vishah Eitzel Asher Echad, he was staying by a wealthy individual, Vekibel HaAsher. And the Ashir accepted the Bino Shel Melech Ba'ayin Tov, accepted the son of the king with an Ayin Tov. Kevan Sheshama HaMelech, Mi Kibel Bino. Once the king heard who had accepted his son, Ube'ezim Medina Hu, and in which province, which town he was in, Hoya Mishalech Higeres Eitzel Oso Ha'ish, the king sent letters to this Ashir. The Omer lo Sholach es bini, and he said, send me back my son. Pam achas, ubeis, ugimel, says the Medrash. The king sent the letter once, twice, three times. Hoya mishalech b'chozman b'chol shah b'shah. At shaholach b'hotzi libno ba'atzmo, until the king himself went to bring back the son. Hiskil osho ha'ish tsoek. This usher began to cry, and he said, it was a tremendous kavod, it was a tremendous honor for me that I housed the son of the king. The king had to write me letters, had to ask me for permission for his son back. And I didn't listen to him because I wanted more letters. And he needed me. Now, since the king no longer needs me, Lekach ani tzoek, therefore I cry. And kach amar Paro, says the Medrash. This is what Paro had said as well. Kishahoyu Yisrael eitzli. When Bnei Yisrael was by me, hoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu zokakli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed me, v'hayisi tzofen b'fonav. And I turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hoya mishaleach li yigeris b'chol shah v'shah, and he sent me letter after letter. Ko amar Hashem, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. Send my people out. Paro heard from Moshe, send my children. And he didn't want to send. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out and down to Mitzrayim, Hiskel, Paro, Tzoik. Paro began to cry. And now he said, woe to me, God no longer needs me. And therefore, says the Medrash, that is why the Pasuk begins, Vayhi Bishalach Paro, because Paro was in angst, Paro was suffering, that the king no longer needed Paro. What's problematic? What's problematic with this Medrash? What's problematic with the mindset, with the distorted outlook of Paro? Does anyone have any idea? What would someone suggest? What's wrong with Paro's outlook, his mindset, his mentality? Anyone? Perhaps. Why would he be suffering? Why would he be in distress? His entire land and his people were decimated, destroyed, pulverized. He had nothing left. Perhaps that's what's wrong with Pyro's mindset. Though I think something different. I think what's distorted with Pyro is that Pyro actually believed that Hamelech Zokokli, that the king needed me. Pyro actually believed in his distorted view on life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually needed Pyro. And without Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho would be diminished. We're looking at Paro. We're saying this guy is so foolish. How could he possibly fathom or think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs him? Chevre, I asked the question. Are we any different than Paro? Are we really different than Paro? Perhaps isn't it possible that we ourselves think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us? After all, everyone else is skiing, sitting on the beach, and we're here in the Beis Medrash learning Torah Yom V'Laila. A tremendous thing. I start feeling good about myself. And you should. And we all should. But we start thinking that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs my Torah. Without me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't survive. That's Paro-isk. That's the mentality of Paro. And the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Sha'arei Tshuva Shar Gimel Os Chaf Tes, don't fall into the trap of thinking like Paro that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us, needs our mitzvot, needs our Torah, and without our Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is diminished. As Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Al Tomer Bilvavecha, don't say in your hearts, Betzid Kasi, that through my righteousness, Havieni Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought me, Loreshes, Es Haaretz Hazot, to inherit this land. He's a harni bezeh. Be careful, watch out. Shalom nidme binafshenu hitzlachtanu bitzidkosenu. Don't fall into the trap, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that our successes and our righteousness and our yosher livavenu is ultimately what allowed us to inherit this land. That's not the case of Al-Namin Vineda Im Livavenu, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you must know and be very clear in your das that your Hatzlacha Mechesed Ha'elyon V'Rav Tuvo. That our Hatzlacha, that our success has nothing to do with our tzidkus, with our righteousness, has nothing to do with our limud haTorah, that we're better and God needs us, but rather it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind and compassionate and gives us the siyata d'shmaya to learn His Torah. The Mishnah Avos tells us, Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. There were 10 Nisyonos, there were 10 trials that Avram Avinu was tested with. The Omad Bekulam, and he withstood all of those tests. The mission doesn't tell us what the trials were that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given to Avram Avinu. However, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar list the 10 trials that Avram was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi agrees with that. The Rambam disagrees a little bit, but nonetheless, both the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Rashi and the Rambam all agree that the 10th test was Akedas Yitzchak. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that the last test was not Akedas Yitzchak, but rather the last test was Kfuras Sarah, was the burial of Sarah. Ask the Mefarshim. Why was Avraham Avinu, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give Avraham an additional test after Akedas Yitzchak? To take up his son, his only son, as Bincha, Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, to take him up and bring him up as a karbon. Now I know that you're a God-fearing individual. Was it really necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah, was it really necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give Avram another test, after Akedas Yitzchak? I believe the answer is that perhaps after Akedas Yitzchak, Avram Avinu could have sat down, relaxed, and said to himself, "Wow, I'm really good. I've made it. God really needs me now. I was willing to come and slaughter my child, Bincha, Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta. I've made it. I've reached the top of the mountain. Now God owes me one. Magia li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu zokok li. He needs me now. I made a Kiddush Hashem. I showed the entire world what I was willing to do for God. Everyone else was doing something else. Me, I was willing to bring him up and slaughter him. And therefore I believe that is why he needed another test. To show Avram Avinu, there's no Magiali. There's no resting. There's no resting on your laurels to say how great you are. That now HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you. You got to get right back up. And you got to continue on your way, knowing that you've done nothing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything for you. And that's something that Yaakov was given. Yaakov was given that Musar. Because the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayeshev Yaakov, that Yaakov settled. And Rashi says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Bashalva, that Yaakov wanted to rest. Yaakov said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've done everything. It's enough. I deserve to relax. And at that point, Kafetz Olav Ragzo Shel Yosef, the angst of having to deal with Yosef, another test. There's nothing that's coming to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu on his Madrega. There's no time for rest. There's no time for relaxation, assuming that Magia Li, Zokok Li. It doesn't work like that. The next world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us relaxation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us to rest. This world, there's no assurances. We've done everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, God, you owe me. That mentality does not exist. That was Paro-esque. That was Paro's mentality. That's not a Yid who's always looking to steig, always looking to grow. That's not our essence. That's not the way we think. There's a member of our community that just lost a parent. And this parent, Kanai Nahara, was 90 years old. She came from a town in Poland. And obviously, as you know, or could assume, she was a Holocaust survivor. At 12 years old, that was the age that the last time that she saw her parents. And from the age of 12 to 16, 17, she floated around from concentration camp to concentration camp, from ghetto to concentration camp, to death march. Her parents and siblings were all killed. And she made her way to America. And she got married and had two children. And then suddenly, she became an almana at a very young age. And then she married again a few years later. And then that husband passed away. And about 15 years later, she got married again. And then another husband passed away. And in the meanwhile, she married off two children. And her daughter-in-law, young daughter-in-law, passed away. After the Holocaust, she could have said, "Genug shein, enough already. It's enough. I've done what I needed to do to show you HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm a Yirei Elokim at." And then her husband passed away. And again, Magiali, enough. And then her daughter-in-law. And then her second husband. And then her third husband. And she could have said, "Genug shein, enough. Magiali, Zokokli, now you need me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've shown my value. I've done what you asked me to do. And now I need to rest. I deserve this rest." And she never once asked the question, "Why me?" She never once asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Genug shein, enough already. Give it to someone else. I've already showed you that I'm deserving. Don't disturb me. Now you need me. I've done what you've asked me to do. You owe me one." And she never asked the question. Until finally I asked her son that was sitting Shiva, why did she ever ask the question? Why did she move on? How was she able to carry on and not ask that question? Magiali, Zokokli, it's enough already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need me now. He didn't answer the question. He didn't know the answer. I think and I believe the answer is because she had Yiras Haromimus. She understood that we don't work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not work for us. We work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She understood the awesomeness of God. She didn't view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an ATM machine where you work, you put money in, and then you extract when you need it. She understood the awesomeness of Hashem. I want to share with you these words from the Otzer Mishlei Chassidim. And on this we'll close. It's impossible for a person to come to the Yiras HaRomos to truly understand the awesomeness of God unless Elim Kain Higiel Madrega Shel Shlilos Archo Meikoro, unless you understand your insignificance, our insignificance. Shem Batel Mavotel Eitel Atzmo, that we are Mavatel ourselves. And we don't view ourselves as being this important, this impressive person. Ki az, then yuchal lovo lefnei hamelech, then you can stand before the king. Ki misha margish ba'atzmo eza maila. Anyone who thinks, zokokli, God needs me. Eno yocho la'amo lefnei hamelech. He's not able to stand before the king. And then he continues. And he gives a mashal about someone who's standing in the house of the king. Is it possible for a person that's sitting, standing in the palace of the king, in the presence of the king, to talk about his chokhmah, his wisdom? Is it possible to stand in the palace of the king and talk about how wealthy he is? Anyone who talks about his wisdom, knowing that he's before the king, knowing that this king is the one who dispenses chokhmah, or dispenses ashirus, that person doesn't truly understand that he's not in his world, but rather he's in the world of the Almighty. Melech Malchei HaMelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This woman, this chashuva lady, she understood that she was in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. She had this Yiras HaRomamus. Paro did not have the Yiras HaRomamus. And therefore, Paro had the audacity to say, Zokukli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me. And that's why, for him, it was Vayihi B'Shalach Paro. He was so bitzar that perhaps now he realized that he wasn't needed, he wasn't necessary. And now what about us? When we're learning Torah's Hashem, are we so great that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me? Are we going to have the audacity to say, Zokokli, God needs me now, Magiali, I've proven myself and therefore I can relax? Now I want to end off on a high note. And on this we'll close, I apologize. Everyone here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not need us, but the Welt, the world does. The world needs our Liman HaTorah. The world needs our Tefillah. The world needs our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Because as I said on the outset, you guys right here are the Amudei HaYeshiva. You're the pillars of the yeshiva. Our yeshiva is going to go as far as every single person in this base medrash. And therefore, im lamada de Torah harbe al taksik tova la'atzmacha, if you're going to learn a lot of Torah, so the pasha pshat is don't pat yourself on the back. Though the mefarshim on that mishnah in Avo says al taksik tova la'atzmacha, don't keep the Torah for yourself. Don't make it la'atzmacha, don't make it for yourself. But because you're so necessary for all of us to grow and to strive, the entire yeshiva, al tachzik tov la'atzmacha, go out, make a difference. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not need our Torah, but the Welt, Klal Yisrael, and Befrat in our yeshiva, we do. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.